Welcome to Family Law Talk.
Family Law Talk.
Presented by Kirk Stange of Stange Law Firm, PC. Stange Law Firm is a multi-state family law firm. Now, here's your host, Kirk Stange.
Welcome to Family Law Talk. We have an interesting topic today. The topic is the child's preference for custody. In this episode today is based on an article on our blog, IllinoisDivorceAttorneysBlog.com, dated January 3rd, 2024, titled, When Can a Child Choose Which Parent They Want to Live With? So as a follow-up to the episode today, go on over to IllinoisDivorceAttorneysBlog.com and read this article for more information. But let's go ahead and jump on into the topic at hand. And this topic is a common one that individuals ask of their lawyers when going through a divorce or custody case. And again, the topic is really, when can a child choose who they want to live with? And lots of individuals, when they're going through a divorce or custody case, really think this is a big deal. And they think kids ultimately get to choose who they want to live with. And the kids come into court and say they want to live with the mom, or they say they want to live with the dad. Lots of parties think that is dispositive, and that at that point, the judge is just automatically going to do what the kids want. And so, again, this assumption, if you will, this belief is often something parties think is the case when going through a divorce or custody case. So, I mean, practically speaking, is it true that a child can choose who they want to live with? And the answer to that question is really no. Okay, so when parties are going through a divorce or custody case, a custody order, which is commonly called a parenting plan, has to be put together. A parenting plan or custody order can be put together by consent. In other words, if both parties agree to it and they think it's in the best interest of the children, then they can sign that, submit that to the court through their lawyers, and you know, oftentimes a judge will approve it if it's normal and ordinary and both parties stipulate that it's in the best interest of the kids. But the reality is, in some cases, the parties don't agree on child custody. The parties have totally different viewpoints on what ought to take place, what's just, what's fair, what's in the best interest of the kids, if you will. And so these cases then get litigated where the parties can't agree. In some cases where there's abuse or neglect alleged, or even if it's just a case where there's complicated allegations, a court will appoint a guardian ad litem, which is an attorney appointed to represent the kids in the litigation and to make sure that their interests are protected in the case itself. Okay, so obviously a contested custody case, whether it being a divorce or if it's in a paternity case, which we generically refer to a case between unmarried parents. But as these cases go, you know, one party, again, their viewpoint might be, look, the kids want to live with me. They want to live with me, and they say that they do. And so that ought to carry the day, is the viewpoint. And ultimately, again, that really misses the mark in a lot of respects. Okay, so let's break this down in more detail. Obviously, it's important to look at the statute in whatever state you reside in. Your state likely has a statute that deals with child custody in terms of the factors the court's supposed to look at in order to determine the child's best interest. And these factors can be many, like the child's connection to their current home, school, and community, could be the child's physical and emotional needs, could be the child's age and health, each party's capabilities and willingness to provide for basic child needs can be important. Obviously, the relationship between the children and each parent can be vital. And then one of these factors is, in most states, the wishes of the children, you know, the wishes of each parent in terms of what they want. And the court's got to balance these and weigh all these, okay? And so I'm not saying, at the same token, the kids' wishes and desires has no meaning. It certainly does. It's one of the factors, but it's not dispositive in and of itself, okay? And so to break this down in more detail, the reality is, in some cases, there could be parental alienation tactics taking place, which are causing the kids to be with one parent versus the other. And parental alienation is where a parent is really saying negative, derogatory things, about the other parent. They're on a campaign, if you will, to really demean the other parent to the kids. Terrible when this occurs. But in some instances, the kids might not want to live with one parent who's actually pretty good because they've been alienated. So again, the kids' wishes just don't automatically carry the day. In some instances, the kids might want to live with one parent because they're more lenient. Like the parent lets them do whatever they want. Like they can stay out late. They don't have a bedtime. There's not rules. There's not guidelines in that particular home, let's say. So let's say the kids want to live there because they can do what they want. Well, obviously, that isn't a good reason for the kids to want to live with that particular parent or not. Now, look, ultimately, the older the kids get, so the closer to age 18, it's going to be different for different judges, but a judge is going to be more likely to take that into account. So, again, I'm just sort of painting with a broad brush. This is not a carte blanche rule, and every judge can see this differently. But, kids get their teenage years, right? They're getting older. Then oftentimes a court will take their wishes into account, right? I mean, it's something the court considers. But in and of itself, is it dispositive? Does the judge automatically have to allow the kids to live with one parent simply because this is what the kids want? No. I mean, ultimately, the judge has to determine what's in the best interest of the children. And what's in the best interest of the children, in the judge's opinion, might weigh differently than what the kids' wishes are. Now, look, in a lot of cases, the kids love both their parents, and they want to see both their parents, and they want to spend substantial time with both their parents. That's a good thing in most instances, but in some circumstances, the kids could prefer one parent over the other. And again, the older the kids get, the more likely it is a judge will take it into account, but it's not dispositive. Kids don't just get to automatically choose. Okay, so let's break this down in a little more detail. Okay, let's say a child age 12 wants to live with one parent, and they're determined to live with that one parent. Okay, is that dispositive? Again, no. Although the court may listen to the 12-year-old's wishes and desires, and they may take them into account, particularly if the child's mature and has a well-reasoned explanation, it doesn't mean that this is necessarily dispositive. That could persuade the judge. It may not. Okay, so it's not like an easy win because the kids, want to live with one parent or the other. When you think about it in more detail too, it makes a lot of sense. If a kid could just choose with whom they wanted to live, right, that would really encourage parents to then lobby the kids, right, give the kids, all kinds of concessions in terms of their parenting or whatnot, just so the kids will come into court and say, I want to live with mom or I want to live with dad, right? So in most circumstances, you really wouldn't want it to be this way. If it were this way, parents couldn't be parents because parents would really have to be most concerned with being popular with their kids by letting them do whatever they wanted, okay? Let's say a child really doesn't want to live with one parent. Okay, what effect does that have? Let's say the child's impassioned, that they don't want to live with one parent, or they don't want to spend time with one parent or not. Is this dispositive? Well, look, ultimately, if the kids are in physical, emotional danger, then that's one thing. And if there's physical, emotional danger, then a court in most circumstances is obviously going to take that into account. Okay, and if it's a divorce or custody case that hasn't been decided, that's going to be taken into account in terms of the initial custody determination. If there's already a custody determination or the divorce is complete, the custody case is complete, then what often needs to happen is if the kids are in physical or emotional danger, then the other parent needs to file a motion to modify, to try to modify the custody order to get the kids out of danger, okay? But short of that, short of the kids being in some sort of physical, emotional danger, again, the kids' wishes or one factor, but ultimately, if the kids aren't in physical or emotional danger and there's already a parenting plan or custody order in place, the kids' wishes at the end of the day, right? I mean, what has to happen is that the parents have to abide by the custody order. Whatever that custody order is, that's what the kids need to do. And in terms of when they're with mom and when they're with dad or whatnot. But short of physical, emotional danger, look, again, their wishes are just one factor and one factor only. Okay. You know, another question lots of individuals have relates to 50-50 custody. I mean, more and more states are adopting laws, if you will, which make 50-50 custody or shared parenting a presumption or a starting point for the court. And again, this isn't the case in every state, but more and more states seem to be trending in this direction. So the question a lot of individuals have is if courts are starting with 50-50 custody or shared parenting, what impact does a kid's wishes have? Well, look, candidly, if courts are going to start with 50-50 custody or shared parenting, you know, courts, you know, are going to take the wishes of the kids into account. Again, it's one factor only, and they take their wishes into account, again, particularly the older the kids actually are, you know, not when they're young, but we're talking teenage years. But oftentimes, again, their wishes aren't going to be enough to overcome that presumption of 50-50 custody. Again, unless they're, you know, physical or emotional danger to the kids and their physical and emotional well-being is at risk, you know, in most of these cases, 50-50 custody or something close to that is what's going to happen. And so, you know, taking that into account, the advent of shared parenting or 50-50 custody in a way makes the kids' wishes even less meaningful in a way, because most courts are going to do 50-50 custody and that's where they're going to start. And so the kids' wishes not as significant as previous times when kids would predominantly live in one home and then the kids would go to the other parent's house every other weekend, right? You know, that used to be more common, and some states still do that, but more and more states moving in the direction of 50-50 custody, again, makes the wishes of the kids less impactful, because most courts, in spite of the wishes of the kids, even if they prefer to be in one home over the other most of the time, you know, more and more judges are doing 50-50 custody. Again, 50-50 custody not automatic in every state. And even in states where it's a presumption, courts can overcome that presumption with facts and evidence. And theoretically, again, the kids' wishes could be enough to overcome the presumption, but oftentimes it's not, where the kids are simply preferring to be in one home, you know, more for preference reasons, or the one parent's more lenient, let's say, you know, that's probably not going to be enough to overcome that presumption. All right. Well, this is definitely an interesting topic, one that individuals ask about a lot. So I wanted to talk about it on Family Law Talk again as a follow-up to the episode today. Go on over to IllinoisDivorceAttorneysBlog.com, read the article titled "When Can a Child Choose Which Parent They Want to Live With?" The date of the article is January 3rd, 2024. That'll give you more information on this topic. But thanks for tuning in today. Stay tuned to our next episode of Family Law Talk coming up. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to Family Law Talk with Kirk Stange. Visit StangeLawFirm.com for more about today's topic or to put Stange Law Firm to work for your family today. The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely on advertisements. Neither the Supreme Court of Missouri or Illinois reviews or approves certifying organizations or specialist designations. The information you obtained in this podcast is not, nor is it intended to be, legal advice. You should consult an attorney for advice regarding your individual situation. We invite you to contact us and welcome your calls, letters, and electronic mail. Contacting us does not create an attorney-client relationship. Please do not send any confidential information to us until such time as an attorney-client relationship has been established. Past results afford no guarantee of future results, and every case is different and must be judged on its own merits. Kirk Stange is responsible for the content. Headquarters, office, 120 South Central Avenue, Suite 450, Clayton, Missouri, 63105. Kirk Stange is licensed in Missouri, Illinois, and Kansas.